latest episode at SEC Buttcase. I'm your Mike Brennan. By SEC Mike, and there he is, everybody's favorite, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I wasn't ready for that screaming. I'm doing well, man. Been a while.
Is it a little too loud? Am I a little too amped up? Man, doing good, brother. Guess what? Down 14 pounds, cuz. Just in 1 week.
Oh, yeah. I told him yesterday.
Oh, did you? Oh, you ruined the thunder. Yeah.
No, well, they were asking. The cousins care about you.
It's a big week. I was a little worried, right? Because we went to G-Burg, and that's like the fat capital of the world, and everybody knows how to cook up there, and there's a sweet treat around every corner. That's why there's so many bears up there, Mike. And I stumbled into a few spots, but I was still able to stay on track. So that was important.
Well, you've never been to Branson then, have you?
Once. I went out there. You know, it's funny. We drove. My wife was like, we got to go to Branson. We got to check it out. It's going to be awesome. I was like, all right, we'll do it. So we drive 2 days, right? And we pull into town, and I see the Stampede, and I see the Titanic. And I was like, did we just drive 2 days to see Pigeon Forge? That's what it felt like. But yeah, I was a little young for Branson. It felt like, I think I need to revisit that if I hit the 80s one day. It's the shuffle capital of the world.
Well, I'll tell you what, buddy, you lose enough weight, you'll get it to the 80s.
That's my goal, is to go visit Branson.
Hey, shout out Supplation. Give us a donation. You, the man, the myth, the legend.
We're back, baby. Shane. We're back.
Yeah, anything, what, any fun times over the weekend?
Yeah, we had a blast. I would say we did more. So when you're in Gatlinburg, you kind of choose a path. Do you want to do like the Pigeon Fours, the strip type thing, or do you want to actually enjoy the outdoors? And that's what we kind of did here. We went out and did the Roaring Fork, did a hiking trail. Hello. And yeah, just kind of spent some time in nature. You know, the fun part, probably the best part, My truck, I call her Dolly. She didn't agree because the brake pads are gone. But we just drove around some of these little curvy old back roads, checking out these cabins and look for bears. I'm getting old, man. I'm just out there bear watching now.
The old bear jam. Okay.
Yeah. I was
that
him.
Makes sense. Yeah. I believe it, Shane. Well, you missed a lot. A lot of good interviews. Go check them out. If you missed, maybe wait till the show's over. But we've had a lot of interviews on the channel. And we had Cousin Steven drop the latest anonymous coach comments out of the SEC. So I thought it'd be fun, Shane. We've done this before, I believe, where we just kind of guess who said what about the other teams. And again, do we know? No. Well, I don't even know if these were the head coaches. Could be coordinators, could be, you know, GAs for all I know. But it's just kind of fun to guess who said what, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pretend it's all the coaches. The head coaches took time to do this.
Hey, shout out All Vols Talk Show. He said stop by at Tennessee Legend and got him some honey bourbon. It's really good. Got his free gift, too.
Hell yeah. And if the cousins don't have a free gift, they need to swing by. They got two locations in Sevier County. One when you get off the interstate, one on the Cuck County side. Either one's going to get you a bonus gift and a discount. They also got a location in Nashville. So be sure to let them know the cousin sent you. And I tell you what, you'll have a blast in there seeing our cousins at Tennessee Legend. I'm working on my radio voice. How'd that work?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Delilah.
All right, so let's get into it, Shane, because we got a lot of teams in on here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen these. I don't know if the cousins, if they've seen them all. I've been plastering them all over the internet. But for Alabama, again, these are anonymous coach comments from the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine. Go get your magazine. Help Steven out. Here's the comments on Bama. With whoever was going to follow Nick Saban, there was going to be a measuring stick on the toughness or the softness of the program. The run game statistics do not vouch for the toughness. They have to fix that. Losing Ty Simpson doesn't help. And then they continue on here. Two of the top running backs gone. Three of the top offensive linemen are gone. Jeremy Bernard, outstanding receiver. He was a special player. Losing all of them doesn't allow you to play honest so you can run the ball. People are going to be able to play two high safeties, create multiple looks, create issues for them. Double-digit losses were never a thing under Nick Saban. Now they're a thing that creates concern, talking points, narratives, which is tough to deal with because the players see it. Who said it, Shane? Who besmirched Alabama like this?
Oh,
I think I know.
Dude, I keep going back to Kirby Smart, but I want to hear what you think. I don't know. That's the one that kind of stood out to me, you know, because there's not too many programs that I feel like Kirby's going to want to pick on. Alabama's one of those, just kind of keeping them down, keeping them where they belong. So give me some Kirby Smart here.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's not bad. But I was thinking another former Alabama assistant. I think you got the wrong side of the ball, though. Give me Lane Whiffen over here. Because, again, that coach seemed like an offensive guy.
Yeah.
He was talking about, you know, how they're going to be at, you know, the inefficiency of the offense, given the pieces, given a lot of the things. Now, again, I could be wrong. But Kiffin wants that job. He's always wanted it.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even consider his ass. So he's out here saying, never under Saban did we let that happen. We were never getting our ass tarred and feathered like Kalen DeBoering. So I don't know. Maybe Kiffin, maybe it's Kirby.
Could be Sarkisian now that you mention it. You know, going back, he told you which programs were great when he was over there. Coach Mike Brown. That's exactly who I think wrote that one.
Yeah. Does any of that surprise you, though? I mean, it seems like.
Well, I mean, it's definitely picking out the holes, if you will, right? The mentioning the offensive line, the running back. What is gone? So I'm kind of with you a little bit, but I feel like it's more of a defensive guy. You know, I don't have to plan for these guys anymore. I don't have to scheme for these cats anymore. So that's kind of why I'm going to stick firm with Kirby Smart here on the defensive side.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to think, Shane. I'm just glad to know I'm not the only one down there, but downplaying Bama. I don't know where these crazy people, I mean, I see it in the comments. They're like, we fired the offensive line coach. We're bringing in offensive linemen. Signed a high school run. Yeah. High school running back school will save our ass. You know, like, give me a break, brother. You know, this is, man, that's something I would expect to hear at Mississippi State, not at Alabama.
Oof. Damn, Mike. Swinging. Just swinging.
All right. How about your favorite, Shane?
Yeah.
Silver Fox. Ooh. Man, these comments were rough on old Silver Fox. I don't know what he did to them, but here's the comments from the Athlon book here. They're not considered a sleeping giant. Ryan Silverill, great coach who might have taken the wrong Power 4 job at the wrong time. Silverfield has always had excellent offenses. They put a lot on their quarterback to make checks and reads. He's very calm on game day and very, very bright. He understands the ending of the games and how to handle those situations with the timeouts. You also add, if you look at their SEC schedule, the 9 teams they play are pretty daunting. And then you add Utah. That doesn't set up for year one success. In this day and age, if you don't have year one success, narratives get forced upon you, and you got to find a way to shake.
Ooh, man. That's got to be Hunter Yurecek, right?
Man, just when I think it couldn't get any darker for Arkansas, they get kicked right in the nuts. You know what?
Yeah, this was at some fundraiser, you know, when he's trying to get money for the basketball team. Dude, I'm right here with Pooh Bear. The first thing I thought of was Eli Drinkwitz, you know, putting down his home state, them Arkansas Razorbacks, not a sleeping giant, you know, just this ain't nothing. This ain't a rival, you know? So that's what this kind of felt like. So give me Drink.
Maybe, is it possible he wants that job to reopen up so he can get it?
I don't know. He he pretty much told you it's not a sleeping giant. So I don't know if that means it's on top of his next step list.
That's true. I'm trying to think here. Well, I don't know, Shane, but give me John Sumrall.
Okay.
Schemed up against Silver Fox there in the whatever league that was, Sun Belt, Fun yeah. Belt. And I'm sure John Sumrall was on the list at Arkansas, but I don't think he even considered him. You know, again, I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But with he basically had his choice, Auburn, Florida. So it would make sense where he's like, that's not much of a sleeping giant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like he could have had that job if he wanted it, is what I feel. Like. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I feel.
Yeah, he's just surprised that Arkansas is not in the Sun Belt. You know?
Well, they're making a lot of, the cousins are saying, Golish maybe. Remember, he almost took that job.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah. And same thing. He would have faced off against old Silver Fox, so...
It just feels like somebody that belittles Arkansas, right? So I'm going through my list, you know, probably an Ole Miss, could be a Lane Kiffin, possibly, could be, you know, just somebody that's a rival with Arkansas, but Texas A&M could be, you know what I'm saying? It could be our boy down there in College Station. So that's, but I think I nailed this one. I feel like it's drink.
Brodo says, hell, I wouldn't even consider Arkansas.
Oh, shit.
All right, how about these Auburn ones? So most of them are pretty optimistic. We started on a low here. I'm literally just going in alphabetical order here. But Auburn, I like these comments in the Athlon book. Honestly, Alex Golish, pretty good fit. You can see him paired with defensive coordinator DJ Durkin. He's a grinder. I see how the system could be attractive. You bring in your quarterback with you. There's not a big learning curve there. I could see them having success, and they continue on. They were really good on defense last year. They were the best defense that we saw. You add some offense with it, and they can be pretty good. I sense that there's going to be a mentality to be who they are and not conform to the past and how things have been run there. Teams that play them early, there's going to be a surprise with how efficient they are with the guys they have been, that they have been in that system.
Ooh. Dude, I thought this had Hopple all over it, but there was a comment there, you know, that we saw. So I'm going to pivot and go to Norman and give me Venables here. I just feel like he's just a... He doesn't like to say anything negative about anybody, you know? That's kind of what this feels like. So give me some Vinny.
Yeah, we were running through it yesterday on the show with Steven. I know. I mean, hell, I'm like the main culprit when it comes to kicking Auburn last year.
Mm-hmm.
But that was more about Hugh Freeze and my feelings for him. But, you know, so many... A&M, they really did a good job with them. Oklahoma, like you said, remember Oklahoma had to do the illegal touchdown to beat them. You know what I mean? So there's something there. It could be A&M. But point being, they played a lot of good teams last year.
Yeah.
And because they were so awful on offense, you know, they lost basically every meaningful game aside from Baylor. So you kind of write them off as like, oh, they were just dog shit, you know? But
yeah.
No, the defense was keeping them in a lot of these damn games for most of the season. And the funny thing is, Shane, once they finally figured out the offense, once they kicked old Hugh Freeze to the curb, then the defense kind of didn't do their part necessarily. But if only they could combine the two, they would have had a hell of a squad last year.
You know, it could be even, I was thinking maybe Kirby Smart, you know? This would be classic Kirby. Yeah, they almost got us, but that's because they have a really good defense.
And the refs, remember?
Yeah, yeah, the officiating. Come on, I was clapping.
That was that game. And the goal line and everything like that. The goal line,
yeah, all that controversy, barely got away with one, so that's why he's such a sweetheart on the way out, talking about how great Auburn was.
All right, you're going to love this one, Shane. Your boy,
John Sumrall.
He's hired extremely well. It looks like they've really opened up the checkbook. The question marks would still be along the offensive line and at quarterback. They got Aaron Filo from Georgia Tech, who knows the system. But in this league, it's about making the critical throws on third down and in the red zone, and that has yet to be seen. But what could help that this outstanding offensive coordinator they hired, Buster Faulkner. Here's more comments. Hiring Buster Faulkner was a home run move. Then getting Philo to come with him and getting Auburn receiver transfer Eric Singleton too. Faulkner can coach offensive football. It is such a departure from what anybody in the SEC does offensively, and they're going to have a couple games where they have an advantage because everything is so new schematically. Buddy, that makes me feel like we're going to win a lot of these games. People don't have us winning, particularly early in the season. You know what?
Oh, brother. I go back and forth on this one. I want to kind of say Shane Beamer here, right? With the Faulkner love and the, you know, ain't done it yet in this league talk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That feels like a Beamer, just like, be ready. You know, you're a hero right now, but wait till you play the SEC schedule.
Well, there's no way, my dog, speaking of the dogs.
He's excited.
There's no way Kirby's going to talk up Georgia Tech or former Georgia Tech people or even Florida people, right? So
right.
We could kind of mark him off the list. I'm just trying to think of any SEC that may have faced Georgia Tech. Maybe in a bowl game? Maybe, I'm trying to think. Vanderbilt? Remember Vanderbilt played him?
Yeah.
That was a classic, so I could certainly see Clark Lee.
I think I go, it's the Faulkner. So who had trouble against him? You know, that's kind of where I'm looking maybe right. as picking a coach too. It's like this sounds classic, like this guy gave me a fit when we played him. And the fact that he's down there in Florida, thank God he's not on our schedule. So that's what it kind of feels like, that this team, whoever this coach is not playing them this year, but they've played against Faulkner in the past.
Okay. Shout out them dogs, Shane. Are they going to win it all? Not according to this coach, probably. Do they still have the depth that they had in 2020? I think the answer is no. Those backups are third stringers. They're playing for Missouri or Georgia Tech. I don't know that their process is the same. I don't know that their depth is the same. Are those elite programs getting better? Probably not. They have a thinner margin for error. Can they continue here? They'll look really similar to how they looked this past year. I think they'll be a playoff team, but I don't know if they're going to be an elite SEC team like the ones you saw in the early 2020s. What they seek to be offensively is don't blow the game. Let's run the ball. Shout out, Bobo. Let's let the quarterback get in a rhythm. Their confidence in Gunnar Stockton throwing the ball will determine how aggressive they are.
This is Nick Saban, isn't it? Oh, you know, this was kind of I hope he's hanging this up in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? The Georgia Dogs. So
a lot of people are saying Sark.
I could see that. Yeah, I could be convinced of Sarkisian here, you know. But
you lose to him three times, you're like, they ain't the same. You know?
But it also feels like it's a coach that's just below maybe one of these blue chip programs, right? You know, because he references the kids going to Mizzou, going to Georgia Tech, you know. So I would say somewhere down south, possibly. This quite possibly could be.
What about Golish?
I'm thinking Golish.
Remember, he was at Tennessee.
I was getting these guys, know, that usually would sit around and wait for a while. So give me Golish here.
I've taken a handful of his players. I know he can't keep them. You know what?
Exactly.
Now, I have heard some criticism of those comments because basically everything they say about the, you know, Georgia's not as deep, Georgia's not as talented. You could quite literally make that statement for basically every team.
Yeah.
Because of the portal now and NIL. So, and I don't know why you necessarily put Georgia up there, but maybe it is fair because Georgia was just so damn dominant for a short time.
Yeah.
And just the point being, they may still be the team to beat, but are they quite as good as they were even 5 years ago? You know, we've already had Kirby come out here and say this offseason that, none of these teams could even compete with early Alabama and things of that nature. Yeah. So even Kirby has kind of said similar things, not of this team, but he's kind of said this era can't, no chance they can compete with the back in my day players,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. And if it gets too tough, you know, he'll just retire. He'll just retire.
He'll
get out.
He'll start a podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, here's the anonymous comments for Kentucky, Shane. With all, with the talent base that Will Stein inherited, the only thing I wonder about is the fact that he had more talent than everybody else at Oregon for most of the games. It'll be interesting to see him going from one of the haves to one of the have-nots and how that's going to transition while still not losing your enthusiasm, your connection with the players, and all those kinds of things. They add here about the transfer quarterback. I haven't seen a ton of Kenny Minchie, but I've heard good things about him as an athlete and a person. He clearly has legit talent, and those guys are hard to find.
Quarterback guy. I think it's Lebby. When, you know, he went from have to have not. He gets it. He gets it. Talking quarterback love here. I feel like this is classic Lebby right here.
And fair or not, Shane? Again, I've just said so many bad things about Kentucky that I'm sure every single fan base. Why do you hate us? You know, just they on with that. I don't hate any of these. Hugh Freeze is gone. I hate none of these coaches or anymore. You know what?
Right.
But when I hear, man, I hear he's a good person. I'm like, oh, man. Again, you could be a good person and a good player.
Yeah.
Shout out Tim Tebow, one of the best of all time, right? But when I hear that, I'm like, man. How good is he?
Yeah.
I want to hear that he's a damn beast out there and no one's going to stop him. And then maybe at the end be like, yeah, I hear he's a nice guy too. I don't want to lead with, he's a nice guy.
Or he graduated a year early.
That's important.
Yeah.
Don't lead. Don't lead.
If you're dating my daughter, but if you're trying to win a national championship, I don't care.
Remember Mizzou fans? They were so mad about Drink when he was, he said he'd let Brady Cook date his daughters or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but that was before Brady Cook started cooking. So they were pissed. Once he started cooking, it was okay to say that. But before he was cooking, we don't want to hear that. You know what?
We got a good 3 weeks out of that one, didn't we?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do with these comments here. Stretch it for 3 weeks here. Shout out Lane Kiffin, Shane. I thought these were some good comments. If I'm an LSU fan, any offense that Lane Kiffin has had, they've been unique. They've been multiple. They've been unconventional. Schematically, with offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr., I think they're going to make people play 11-on-11 football. I could see them easily getting back to what LSU does. It's going to be a four-quarter game against those guys every time you play them with the tempo and the athletes they have. Ooh, buddy, I love hearing that if I'm an LSU fan. And then flip it to the other side. Defensive coordinator Blake Baker does such a great job with messing with a quarterback's eyes. He's a really big pain on third down. Ultimately, it's about what you can get your quarterback to know, and Baker makes it really hard on quarterbacks with what they think they see and what the reality is.
This guy likes defense, so I'm going to go Coach Lee here, and the only reason I'm saying that is it feels like a guy that is not from the Old West. You know what I'm saying? This feels like a guy that's planted on an East team somewhere, and I feel like this could be Clark Lee.
Oh, someone was making the joke last night.
Yeah.
It was Napier. Because I had forgotten all about this, but remember, DJ, he threw like 5 interceptions against LSU last year, so I thought that was pretty funny. But you know, another one it could be, did you say offense or defensive guy?
I felt like it's a defensive guy.
It could be Coach Elko.
Yeah.
You know, defensive guy. Of course, they had a lot of good success against LSU the last couple years, so maybe that could be it, but I'm not feeling too confident either way here.
Yeah, the Blake Baker, so maybe
Drink. Remember, he worked with Drink?
Yeah, I mean, that could be it. He's just, I discovered him, so here's a plug.
Yeah, could be that too, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. But again, I don't know. It feels like a guy that may not have to face LSU this year. So, because again, you can always tell from some of these, like you're dreading, and then to make it sound like you're not dreading, you just kind of you promote them, you know, talk about how great they are, just in case. So I don't know. Maybe they are facing them now.
Any chance it's Pete Golding?
No, no.
Keep hyping up LSU. Keep kissing their ass. They're on. I mean, that's the old Lou Holtz. We stand no chance. We're lucky to share the field with them, you know. And then they'd go out there and pull an upset, you know.
Too many big words in those comments. Too many.
All right, how about this one, Shay? This should fire you up if you're a Hail State fan. Bringing back defensive coordinator Zach Arnett was a tremendous hire. Every single time his defense shows up, it's an anomaly for offenses. They don't see it week to week. And the way they run it and the aggressiveness behind it create problems. The thing they don't have there is the ability to sign 2 to 4 elite defensive tackles every year. Well, in that scheme, you just have to have one. They can have success without having to do what everybody else in the SEC has to do with 4 down front. And then adding to that, man, this is one of my favorite ones here. Quarterback Kamario Taylor is a phenom. He's athletically gifted. He can do a lot of things for them this year, and not only with his arm, but also with his feet. He can keep plays alive, which turn into big plays. Ooh, who's that, Shane?
Oh, man. Somebody has faced maybe Arnett in the past.
I think I know.
Yeah, who you got? Who you got?
I mean, we're just going to say Kiffin for everyone, but Kiffin, again, in the Egg Bowl, his team's stroke, particularly late, the one they lost there, was thanks to Zach Arnett. And I was just thinking, Shane, if Lane Kiffin can let it be known to Kamario Taylor, he's like, God, that guy's a phenom.
Yeah.
You know, he's putting it out there early for the next transfer portal.
We mentioned Sarkisian a few times. I could see that too. You know, just a guy that maybe he's going to point out how great this quarterback is, but he doesn't need him. So I'm just kind of wondering if maybe that's kind of the situation here too. But the Zach Arnett love makes me feel like it's a coach that's been around the SEC for a few years.
Well, could be. Any guesses?
I went Sark. I'm going Sark here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to think any of the other ones that may have faced him. Beamer maybe. Beamer's been around a while,
right? It ain't Tennessee. They don't care. well, I don't know, man. Arnett could be Sam Pittman on his way out, thinking about that 7-6 game, you know?
All right, shout out Mizzou. Shane, these are some good ones, too, I thought. They got really good receivers. Last year, I don't think they could get the downfield with the way they wanted it to, but with incoming quarterback transfer Austin Simmons, I think they'll be much better on offense. They'll run what he wants to run. Last year, they ran more gun run for Bo Prabula, and Simmons isn't really a gun run guy. They're really more of a stretch run and get downfield with the passing tree. This year, they'll be able to do that, so that's pretty promising. And then this one kind of broke my heart, Shane. Hopefully Ahmad Hardy's back and better than ever. But the comment, Ahmad Hardy, one of the top 5 running backs in college football in the last decade. Ooh. This kid is special. Hiring offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey was a great hire for who they are and what they're trying to build as a program. So again, if I'm a Missouri fan, I'm pretty fired up by these comments.
Yeah, I'm going Mike Elko here. Yeah, loves them running backs. You know, he's gone against this football team. You know what I'm saying? He knows what kind of their limitations were last year. Also, didn't they face Ole Miss? I don't know if they got to play him, but they at least prepped for him. So I would say Elko. I think Elko's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely played him last year because that was when we had to do the stupid Aggie dance.
Yeah.
What about Kirby? I mean, it seems like Missouri always plays Georgia tight. Maybe not always tight, but plays them better than many SEC teams do.
Loves running backs. in love with running backs. Love stealing Mizzou players, you know, so he's recruiting like crazy. I always think I love it. So, yeah, could be Curb.
Or even Bobo, now that you mentioned running back.
Is that it? You know, Drink May wrote this himself.
All right, hey, shout out Oklahoma, Shane. Here's the comments from the Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine. I was impressed with how Brent Venables and GM Jim Nagy structured the team, and it feels like they finally hit on what the recipe is to be successful there. Defensively, with so many multiples week to week, they won't do the same pre-snap look again. So whatever you prepare for, you're not going to get. Obviously, you want to create indecision with a young quarterback or quarterbacks in the system, and they do that at a really high level. And then the Mateer hype begins again, Shane. John Mateer has a ridiculously high ceiling. That offense has answers for everything. They don't do a ton, but everything they do complements the other thing. When he just executes and then makes splash plays here and there, they complement their elite defense really well.
Their offense, Rick, pull that one back up again. That's the one I'm scratching my head a little bit. The offense, that second one that you had posted, that offense has answers for everything. Mm-hmm. Because that offense at times was very frustrating to watch. So what games, in your opinion, last year did you think Oklahoma offensively had extreme success against? That's kind of the one. Maybe
Michigan, Auburn.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, but Hugh Freeze wouldn't. They don't care what he thinks.
Well, maybe Durkin.
Maybe Durkin. Yeah, I mean, we got to pick some coordinators here. I think DJ Durkin, that'd be a good one.
What's a Michigan coach doing nowadays? Oh,
I think he's in. Oh, I plead the fifth, Your Honor.
Your call from the correction facility, you know. I mean, the guy's got time. He's got time to make quotes, yeah, you know, I would
absolutely
think.
Absolutely. But this is a guy we're talking about, so.
All right. All right, moving on to we've got Ole Miss. Oh, these were interesting, Shane. Very interesting.
Look at that picture.
Oh, yeah. He's got the trophy, man.
I love it. He's cheesing.
In those three games that he coached last year, Pete Golding was Pete Golding. He was himself, naturally transitioned into the role while staying the same dude. That's going to be a challenge. Can he continue to rely on all the things that have made him a big-time ball coach, or is he going to be trying to be the anti-Lane Kiffin? A lot of people in Oxford want him to be the anti-Lane, but he just needs to be Pete Golding. What's going to help that, Shane? Having one hell of a quarterback like Trinidad Chambliss. Trinidad is absolutely the top returning quarterback in the country. He's a winner. He's got the feel for the game. He's got the presence. He looks like he's got tremendous leadership skills, but can that defense be improved enough to let the growth happen offensively without Charlie Weiss Jr.?
Gosh, feels like Lane, don't it? You know, like, what are you going to do without Charlie Weiss Jr.? But there's a part of me, I feel like we're going to go John Summerall here, his brother, his buddy down there in Gainesville, because this feels like a bro comment, right? This feels like one of those, hey, they got a good one. He's got a chance to prove himself. So keep watching. So I'm going to go Summerall here.
Just keep being you, buddy.
Just keep being you, buddy. Because you're good enough, because you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you.
Yeah, hey, I see what you're picking up there. I mean, man, you are on your toes today. I'll give you that. I can't disagree with anything you've said so far.
Hell yeah, man. That's rare.
All right, how about Carolina, Shane? Sellers is an elite athlete. He's very hot and cold. If they can protect him and allow him to show his athleticism, they can be a legitimate problem. He's one of the strongest people I've ever seen live. He's a mismatch for almost everybody. If he feels overwhelmed like he did last year, that wouldn't be good. But I think they're going to make it easy, get the ball out of his hands, as well as some design runs where he's taking on a defensive back in space or out-athleting defensive linemen. Now that sounds good.
Yeah.
But they continue. I don't know that they're going to be better.
Oh.
I haven't felt very good about them the last couple of years, other than they have an elite edge rusher. But they already got a couple of tackles hurt, the offensive tackles he's talking about there, which could factor into it. My guess is they'll be decent, middle of the pack. Who says it, Shane?
I don't know. Here comes the Lane Train.
Lane Train's coming for you.
Is it a sign, the Lane Train doing this one? This one feels like, this just feel a little personal, you know? I don't know. And you wouldn't think it would be any of the coaches that are gone, so we're not going to count those.
What about Clark Lee?
Maybe. Like I said, it feels a little personal. Like, who's South Carolina pissed? Like, maybe Elko, right? A couple of games, like.
Yeah, Stoops isn't around.
Yeah.
You know, did he make these comments before he got fired?
Stoops said, I got one last thing to say.
What about Heupel?
I could see that, especially since Tennessee hasn't played South Carolina in a little while, you know? I mean, they got them on the schedule this year, but maybe you're just preaching it to existence. You know, they're not that good, and he's up and down. So, yeah, let's go Heupel here.
And we would have beat him if not for the wristbands, you know?
Exactly. Oh,
well, Hooker. I think kind of the most negative, I hate to say it, Shane, were the Tennessee comments.
Oh, my gosh.
Without a veteran quarterback in that system, you don't feel the same energy and excitement around that program. Every time we face them or versions of them, it all runs through their quarterback and how confident he is at stretching the field and how mobile he is. So that's part one. Part two here on Tennessee. Having the Joey Aguilar deal not go their way is a good thing for the SEC. They're unproven at quarterback. It's a pivotal year for them to succeed. I don't think they'll be better. They want to run the ball, but do they have enough of a threat downfield to open up the run lanes? The last time they were extremely potent was when Golish was there.
Oh, shit. It was Golish, what?
Yeah. Had to have been, right?
Yeah, was Golish struck out? When it was the eye struck out and then Golish put in?
What about Kirby?
He
solved Heupel for the most. Last year, Tennessee had some success, still lost, but
it kind of feels like we've had their number type deal. Because I wouldn't put Kalen on there. I would feel like
about Clark Lee,
but has had our number. I'm going to go Kirby here.
Remember last year?
Wait, 1 year? Yeah, but
yeah, he's kicking him while he's down.
Yeah, but we've not. I don't think Heupel's beat Kirby Smart yet, right?
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, so let's go with him. Or if we're picking coordinators, it could be Mike Bobo.
What about Venables? He's so fed up with here, and Heupel's going to come back and save the program.
I just like, yeah, it feels like they're kind of putting down that system. This could be a Shane Beamer too, you know. We just swap licks back and forth here. Shane Beamer just saying they're not that good. Now
he
if they had our quarterback, then maybe they'd win. But they don't because he's wearing guard. Yeah. So
yeah. All right. Speaking of quarterback, Shane. A&M, anonymous comments here. I always thought Marcel Reed was a great athlete. Respect him. But I always judge those guys on, do they win the big games? Are they the main difference? He's got a year under his belt, but there's going to be more pressure on him facing the top half of the league and not have it just come to the Texas game at the end. And then, now that was pretty negative, I'll be honest. But the rest is pretty positive. Coach Mike Elko, the real deal ball coach. The way they carry themselves, the way they compete, how physical they are on both sides of the line of scrimmage, they play complete team football. You watch them and they see the way they handle adversity at times throughout the season. That doesn't just happen unless you've got culture.
Unless you got culture.
And Steven said this is a shot at Jimbo.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can sense that. I'm trying to think of some of the old farts that maybe had to deal with Jimbo back in the day. God, why do I keep going to Beamer? I don't know. My mind just goes right back because, again, you know, they've had a, this is a rival, whether we like to talk about it or not, but yeah.
What about Pete Golding? Pete Golding, he was at Bama. He would have faced Jimbo quite a bit.
Yeah, but we haven't mentioned Kalen DeBoer in any of these. Does this feel like the culture? You know, he built something special, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the same timeline as they came in together. So give me Kalen DeBoer here. He's just he's excited about how they've transformed down there.
But is he the one calling out Marcel Reed? Derek Henry says Marcel Reed went 11-2 last year. He's a winner, damn it.
Hell yeah. Who's to argue King Henry? Yeah, Kalen DeBoer, definitely then.
Good point. 11 games last year. Yeah. All right, and then we get to Texas, Shane. Mighty Texas. On paper, I think they're the team to beat in the SEC. They might be preseason number one again. Arch Manning's going to be just fine. I think he did such a good job of managing it, but he was put in a tough situation. It was literally a Heisman or bust situation for a kid who hadn't even played yet, but he's super talented. He does everything right. He prepares hard. He'll be just fine. And we got more Arch hype here. They made some bold moves. Obviously, there's a ton of money in that program, so you've got to feel like they made moves that they felt like they had to make their program better. What's that going to look like after a loss or two? I don't know. I thought Arch got better as the season went on. Is he what he was unfairly hyped to be? Probably not, but I think he's a good, solid quarterback in this league.
A lot of quarterback talk, man. So I know I've picked him a few times, but I'm going with Levy here.
I thought you were going to say Beamer.
No, this is Levy. And, you know, he mentioned it must be nice to have some money to throw at these athletes.
I could see that. I could certainly see that. I could even see Elko.
Yeah, just right
now. I don't think there's a lot of bad blood. People may think there is, but I don't think there is much between Sark and Elko. I mean, obviously they want to whoop each other's ass on game day and in recruiting and all that. But
yeah.
I think they're pretty respectful of one another. So, you know, he might be a candidate. I'm trying to think of
maybe Billy Lucci. I mean, I sense a little. He's been on that moving goalpost too much. You know, he's starting to come over to the dark side.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even Will Stein. Again, he's a big quarterback guy.
Yeah, big quarterback guy. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's like the way you're thinking.
It's like, oh, I'd love to work with him.
Oh God! I could have that money. Look what I've did with the little bit I've got.
All right, then last here we got Vanderbilt, Shane. The time with Diego Pavia will help them recruit at a higher level, and they'll have more sustained success than they've had. But it won't be at the same level the next year or two without Diego. I think the injection of belief and swag that Pavia brought to the program can carry over. They fed off it. Then it became more than just him, and they continue on here. Do I think they'll be as good without Diego? No, absolutely not. Do I think they'll be competitive and in there somewhere in the middle? Yes. Offensive coordinator Tim Beck does such a great job of being so fundamentally sound in what they do. There's repetitiveness of technique and play calling, but there's multiplicity in the pre-snap looks, the pre-snap motion, and that makes it a complete pain.
Damn, I'm going hypo here, man. Yeah, old Josh, he said, I dealt with Diego last year and the year before. Let's don't forget, 2 years they gave Tennessee fits. So, yeah, this feels like a hypo here. Yeah, they're coming back to earth is what he's saying. We're taking back our state.
I know we've already used him once before, but DJ Durkin, he had – coach against Diego last 2 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a weird game too. You know, we were expecting a low scoring game in that one. I think it was a combined 100 points. So, and it was it was a Diego show for sure. So that's not far fetched there at all.
DJ
Durkin, man, somebody get him away from the mic. How does this work? How does the coaching and not, what is this? They fill out a sheet and they turn it in, or how does that exactly work?
Well, can't give away state secrets, Shane. Not at least not on air. You know what?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's all the content I have. Oh, but yeah. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does anything you just heard, now again, that's just, who knows? Who knows how many people's opinions that really is? But does any of that skew anything that you were thinking about any of the SEC teams? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. I think a couple of them, good and bad. So we'll start with bad. I think bad is South Carolina. That was pretty harsh to talk about, you know, what the struggles they're dealing with. Right. And especially on that second comment where it says, I don't feel good about that one. Possibly another one is Alabama. I go back and forth with this one, but this was just in a damn attack, man. You know what I'm saying? It right. was like, hey, look at, I'm trying to show you why Alabama is moving backwards and not forwards. I think all Tide fans are expecting them to be competing for a national title yet again, but outside Tuscaloosa, there's several people that think Alabama may be exposed this season. And so those comments kind of, I'm not one of them, Stephen Up. That's not me, but I'm just saying.
I was really disappointed because I'm trying to find positives for Arkansas.
Yeah.
In these, like, ooh, Ryan Silverfield, great coach.
Yeah.
Probably took the wrong job.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Damn. That was Ty, wasn't it? He wrote that one.
Because all these guys, now maybe it, for Silverfield, you know, Arkansas is his destination job. But what these guys are, most of them are like wired to, I got to move up the ladder, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And if you realize most of these guys, Shane, when they get fired, we basically never hear from them again.
Yeah.
At least as a head coach. It's pretty rare. I know there's examples like Will Muschamp fired at Florida, resurfaces at Carolina. That's pretty damn rare. There's a handful we can point to. Most of them, if you get that big SEC job and you get fired, you just don't come back from it more times than not. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's interesting.
One other one I'll highlight here too is there's one coach that I feel like everyone kind of roots for, at least they did last season. You know, you don't really know what you're going to get this year. And that's why maybe the ceiling floor is just so wide, but it could be really good. It could be really bad, but you know, you're just kind of rooting for this guy, but you could sense that with coach comments. That would be Pete Golding. And I just feel like when you're hearing, you know, he's the right guy. He's just give him an opportunity. He just be who he is and create his program. And I feel like Ole Miss fans, they're just right there, man. You're competing in the playoffs. You definitely don't want to take that big step back. You may take a step, but you don't want to take a big step. You want to be in playoff talk at the end of November every year. Ole Miss loves the spotlight. And I feel like with those comments, you can sense that's how other people are talking. Now, you can talk to Mississippi State fan, they don't care. They're like, man, I hope this guy goes 0-12. But I kind of sense that with the comments. And that uncertainty makes me, maybe I'm a little bit more leery about putting money on them, you know?
Yeah. Is there a chance, Shane, where, I mean, I know it's slim. I don't think aside from Ole Miss fans, I don't think there's anyone that believes this. But is there a chance, Shane, that Ole Miss is even better?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say? What is the best revenge is living well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? like what if Ole Miss is even better? Because they looked it to me in the playoff without Lane Kiffin. Now there were staffers that are now at LSU that remained, you know, and they got hot and they advanced and they went further than anybody except Ole Miss fans thought. So I don't want to take that away from them, but
Yeah.
Man, imagine a world where they, and that's going to be difficult because Kiffin was so successful, but imagine a world where they get even better. Man,
I want to take
nothing could be sweeter.
I want to take you back to 1997. There was a quarterback decided to come back. His name was Peyton Manning. And we said, this is our year, baby. This is our year. We're going until we lost. And then we kind of was deflated. We knew we were in kind of a rebuild. And we go out there and we win a national title in 98. So I'm saying that happens to Ole Miss, but just when you count them out, you got the best quarterback in the country coming back. So Lord knows, I mean, you kind of set the ceiling just with that guy. So yeah, anything can happen.
Hey, how about this one? I highlighted it last night. You highlighted it. You know, the John Mateer hype I get, but the comments on Oklahoma's offense having answers for everything, that did not showcase itself last year.
Yeah.
But if I'm an Oklahoma fan, Shane, maybe I'm sitting here saying, buddy, our scheme is pretty highly respected.
Yeah.
Now, their issues, you know, well-documented, quarterback broke his thumb. They didn't have much of an offensive line, or at least a running game. They really only had one receiver that kind of stepped up and did anything.
Yeah.
And they had no tight end. So, you know, if I'm a Sooner, I'm sitting here spinning it as, okay, so we've got the scheme, we've got the coaches. If we can keep the quarterback healthy, not have him shoulder the entire damn offense, including running the football, they've added receivers, they've added tight ends. I'm not sitting here saying Oklahoma's going back to elite nationally offenses, you know, but
yeah,
if they just get 7 points more per game on offense, which would be a big jump, with that defense, man, that's going to be pretty damn lethal.
And that's why they're so confident right now. This is why Sooner fans are Vegas has them, 7.5? And that's based off the schedule, which could change quickly. And I think you may be onto something, because even as I'm watching some of the Oklahoma games, especially the losses, it's almost like I was making excuses. If this would have happened, or if this guy would have been healthy, you know, what would have happened? It just feels like here, even the last two seasons, we said this, if they had an offensive line, man, they'd be, you know, so maybe if they don't have an excuse season, this is the one that they take that next step. But dude, they're already in the playoffs, and you're bringing your playoff quarterback back. I love this defense. We're excited about the big uglies up front. And you're right. They went in the portal. They got what they needed. And I think Jim Nagy is the best orchestrator of college football teams that's out there. So I have full faith that they'll be ready to roll. And that 7.5 may be the best bet to take the over. So
they may get that in the first 8 games.
Just saying. Yeah, they could, man. So this is going to be a wild freaking year. 9 SEC games. Anything can happen. And yes, it was John Mateer's thumb last year, but it may be someone else's thumb this year. Yeah, and maybe they're on their schedule. So,
hey, any reaction more to the Tennessee? I mean, it was mostly negative, and it just kind of continues.
Yeah.
Not on this channel, but on basically everywhere else, people doubting the Vols. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are at, like, is Heupel going to get fired? I'm like, I didn't even know he's on the hot seat. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that is out there. These comments kind of reiterate it. Are them Vols being discounted, Shane?
Yeah, of course. This system works, man.
Is that where you want it, though?
Yeah.
Being discounted?
Dude, there's nothing worse. I mean, you talk about confident Vol fans in the Josh Heupel era. You remember when we went down to Georgia and we're prank calling Stetson and all that stuff and having a good old time? Then it started raining and the balls got wet and we had trouble. You know, that was a confident game. You know, a confident game was going over to Columbia, South Carolina, and we're going to whoop their ass and go to the college football playoffs. And then they cheated and that didn't happen. So I don't want to be too confident, but I do know that this is a program that people don't want to face. And this is also a program that finds ways especially on quarterback, to make things work. Joey Aguilar, nobody knew Joey Aguilar. Nobody knew Hendon Hooker. You know, these guys, they got in the Josh Heupel system and they became elite. So who's to say there's not an elite quarterback in that huddle right now? Not me, not this guy.
They might have multiple elite quarterbacks. Maybe that's the problem, Shane.
That's the problem. Too damn good. I mean, you just don't know which one to put out there.
Hey, shout out to Cousins. We've got some nice donations rolling in here. Shout out.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We got Token.
Yes.
Oh, what's that say there? Three shows, one article, Mike. I love it. And then Steve It Up, shout out.
Hey, there he is.
Steve It Up.
Road Tide.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steve It Up. Roll Tide.
Appreciate the content and the Cousins. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Cuz.
Steve It Up. And then we got Tokens back again.
We're good. Undefeated or bust. Hotty toddy. Say it, Mike. Say it.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It just feels like it, right? It feels like there's an Indiana amongst us, right? It feels like there's a team. Maybe we're not putting in the mix of the three bigs, if you will. And maybe it is the three bigs, but it's just a season of dominance. Would not blow my mind. I feel like it's funny because a lot of people say, well, the days of going 12-0 are not going to happen anymore. Brother, if anything, it's more likely to happen because you didn't have the injuries. You had a little lady luck, and there was a handful of kids that were a lot better than you thought they were. So, no, I think that any team could have that run. So, it's going to be an awesome season, brother.
Hey, here's a hell of a comment from a cousin here. You know, half the battle, Shane. Shout out to Chuck here. Missing Georgia is a serious blessing. That's half the battle for Tennessee.
Get them off the, because it was Alabama, but we got them. We own their ass at home. Sorry, Stephen. Up. Oh, damn, there's that confidence again.
All right, buddy. Hey, anything else before we hop off?
Oh, no, man. It's good seeing the cousins. Good hanging out. Afraid you wouldn't recognize me all this weight I lost. But
I think I see some hair coming in, too. It's just a whole new Shane over here.
I'm like a chia pet over here. So, no, I'm going to – again, I appreciate all the support, and I love it, man. We're in the off season. I know it's the dog days, right? We're thick in list season, but – just hang with us here in a couple of months. We'll be right back at it. It's May, June, the coaches will be meeting. That's the way I was looking at it. June, the coaches meet. Yeah, July, we're going to talk about it. We're going to be down there at Media Days. We're going to have all kinds of awesome content coming your way. And then guess what? August is football. So we're not that far away.
Right. And I got a heck of an idea. A lot of fun tomorrow, Shane. So be there or be square.
Ooh. Damn, Papaw Bratton.
Same time as always, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.